Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Where does our food come from? Our clothing. A man who explores these issues was at Central College recently. Let's go in depth with Kelsey Timmerman, author of Where Am I Eating? An Adventure Through the Global Food Chain and Where Am I Wearing? A Global Tour to the Countries, Factories, and People That Make Our Clothes. So Kelsey, what brings you to Central?
So Central College used my book, Where Am I Eating, as a common read for all their first-year students to read and discuss as a part of their orientation experience. So I was here here today to talk with students and meet with them, and I just got a tour of the garden, and they've been talking about all the cool things they're doing in the dining hall here around food. And yeah.
Well, your book has a really interesting premise. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I went to places where we import food from. So the last decade, the amount of food that we've brought into our country, that we import in our country, has doubled. So as much as we like to think that the local food movement is growing, and it is, but it's not quite growing as fast as the global food movement. So our food's almost becoming more unknowable as that global food chain expands. So I followed some pretty common foods that we import. So I followed my Starbucks coffee back to Colombia, where I met farmers, met some fair trade farmers, visit fair trade co-op there, met Starbucks farmers who had never heard of Starbucks, which is kind of fascinating. I went to Nicaragua for lobster. That's kind of the weird one. Like, I don't eat lobster every day, and most people don't. Chocolate is one that we do eat every day. And I went to West Africa, to Ivory Coast, to Burkina Faso and Ghana, researching where cocoa comes from. It's where two-thirds of the cocoa in American chocolate comes from, the country of Ivory Coast. Followed apple juice to China, where the majority of the apple juice on American shelves actually comes from
China.
Yeah. It's kind of a little different one. Yeah. And I think that bananas in Costa Rica too. So.
All right. And so you got all over the world. Was that intentional, or did you just say, hey, I want to learn more about these common food products?
Yeah. So really it all goes back to a t-shirt. I mean, I know it's a book on food, but it really started with a book on clothes, where I graduated college with a degree in anthropology from Miami University, and I was working as a scuba diving instructor, and I started to write about some travels I had been on, and I would save up money and go travel, and I was looking for that next place to go, and I had this t-shirt that had tattoo from Fantasy Island on it, and if you remember that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it said, he was the guy that said to plane, you know.
Yeah.
Students now, that they completely don't even tell them that who that was, because they don't know. But it says, come with me, my tropical paradise. And I was looking for a next place to go, and I thought, what if I just went wherever this t-shirt was made? I know I can go there, I can have adventures. And so I did, and I went jungle hiking, island exploring, and things like that. And I thought, at least I should go to the factory where the shirt was made. And there I met a guy who was about my same age, 25 at the time, and you know, it got real that we're connected with people every single day that provide us with things in our lives that we kind of take for granted when it comes to the clothing that we wear, to the food that we eat, and we don't really think about them a lot and what are their lives like. So that kind of launches adventure to go and meet the people who made my clothes. Well, it turns out most of those people were former farmers who had left the fields to go to the factories of the city to pursue that opportunity. And when you meet garment workers in places like Bangladesh and Cambodia, and you think that they're pursuing this as an opportunity, and many of their lives in the city are pretty difficult, and the conditions aren't that great, and factories catch on fire, and factories collapse, but yet this is the alternative that they're pursuing as opposed to farming, kind of made me wonder, like, what is happening back on the farm? So with my second project, which is Where Am I Eating?, the one that the students here read, I wanted to go and kind of learn what life is like back on the farm and work alongside the workers and get to know their stories and their lives.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kelsey Timmerman, author of Where Am I Eating? An Adventure Through the Global Food Chain and Where Am I Wearing? A Global Tour to the Countries, Factories, and People That Make Our Clothes. How long did this take you?
So the where am I eating part of it, I was gone for, so I think that my publisher allowed me like a year to research, write, and live it, which is not a whole lot of time. I could use more. But I think I traveled for about 3.5-4 months in total. And then for where am I wearing, really that kind of took place over the period of a few years. But really the travel of that was probably pretty same, like 4 or 5 months of travel for each book.
Well, then you have to get in there and pretty quickly let the people get to know you and trust you and tell you their stories.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, I show up in a country and sometimes I won't have any connections or know anyone. And that can be an awkward thing. I can really have to put myself out there. And just because they don't have the job at the Blue Jean factory anymore doesn't mean that they still don't have family back home in the village that needs supported. So I read a lot of stories about women who had turned to prostitution to earn a living. So yeah, there is this, if we don't buy these things, do they not have a job? And but what I worry about is that we don't want to be mindless consumers. We can't just say like, hey, I'll just buy whatever from wherever, and it doesn't really make a difference because these poor people need jobs. There are really interesting things happening, interesting companies and brands that are doing things that provide people with genuine opportunities. There's been a lot said, like, you know, Nicholas Kristof's a New York Times columnist, and he's written calling for more sweatshops. Well, that's ridiculous. We don't need more sweatshops. We need more jobs that provide mothers and fathers with opportunities where they earn enough money that their kids can go to school. So whether that's fair trade shoes I'm wearing right now or a T-shirt where people are earning a living wage and able to do that, or the fair trade coffee farmers I met in Colombia who were, you know, selling fair trade coffee and definitely changing the lives of their community and building their community. So there are things that we can do. I encourage folks to just consume one thing a day that you know provides someone with opportunities, and your local grocery store that exists. You know, getting to know your local farmers also is just a great way to be closer connected to your food, and just be more mindful of where that comes from, and just be more grateful for it, and just not be a mindless consumer.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kelsey Timmerman, author of Where Am I Eating? An Adventure Through the Global Food Chain, and Where Am I Wearing? A Global Tour to the Countries, Factories, and People That Make Our Clothes. You know, our lives are so fast. How do we change? How do you say, Bob, here's what you need to do? I mean, do you have any advice? Just look at, I don't even know what to think about when I look at labels. I don't even look at labels. I should probably look at Made in the USA or no.
Yeah.
Or should I not?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's tough. I think that it comes down to a little bit of what's important to you as an individual. You know, there's families who they had a strong union job for years, and all of a sudden they lost that job and it went to Mexico, and they want to only buy Made in the United States to support that. You know, that's fine. Some people want to remove themselves entirely from the system and just shop at thrift shops. That's fine too. Now, if we pulled all of our stuff, all of it was made in the United States, or we didn't buy products from anywhere else, I'm just saying, millions of people around the world would lose jobs. So as a consumer who doesn't have a lot of time, I think or a lot of focus on these things, I think it's important to find trusted filters that can kind of help you. So I don't know exactly all of the local filters that could be existing here. You probably have a farmer's market. You could shop there. There's a fair trade store here in town in Pella. I know they sell fair trade chocolate, fair trade coffee, and other goods that with different, I don't know if they're all certified, but have been produced in a way that provides folks with more benefits. So there's a filter as well. And then there's like the big filters at the grocery store when it comes to different types of label. Like, you know, we think of organic, often we think of organic in terms of just our health. Would we like to consume less pesticides? And yeah, you do consume less pesticides if you eat organic food. But also when it comes to certain things there with organic, like the workers who work in those fields also benefit from organic in that they're not exposed to those chemicals. So I've been to organic banana farms, and I've been to regular banana farms, and you talk with the workers, and there's a lot less exposure to very harmful chemicals when it's an organic banana.
Well, and you've got another you've got another project. It's a storytelling project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so with regards to my work, hopefully people hear me talk or read my books, and it changes their heart and mind a little bit. But there's no doubt the person who has changed the most is me, because I've met these people. I've met uncles and aunts and taught them to play baseball or whatever, and I've had these interactions with people and had the responsibility to carry their stories around. And that can be a heavy responsibility. And those experiences have really changed me. So I was trying to think of a way to give back more to my local community and get just more engaged as a local citizen as opposed to just like this global citizen. So I co-founded a project called The Facing Project, which does that. It recruits writers. It's a model that recruits writers in the community and matches them up with people facing a certain topic. Then the writers meet with that person face-to-face. They get to know that person well enough where they can write in the first person as if they were this person. Those stories are compiled in a book, and usually some type of community monologue event is held where actors perform the stories. So far, it's in 25 different communities across the country, facing topics like poverty and autism, disabilities and depression and drug abuse and sex trafficking and sexual violence and hunger and homelessness, and to really get neighbors talking to neighbors across difference, to talking to people who can kind of be invisible in our communities, who we would never sit down and have a really in-depth conversation with before on a topic that might be a touchy one that we don't talk about.
So where can we find out more about your Facing Project and your books?
So Facing Project, you can go to facingproject.com, and you can read stories there from that have been produced from all the projects and see videos. For my own stuff, kelseytimmerman.com, where I have a blog. You can see information about my books and some videos from my books and things like that.
Well, and what's next for you?
Just keep working on the way in the Facing Project. And, I came with a mission statement a while ago. Working with the Facing Project is kind of my own personal mission statement as well, and that's connecting people through stories to strengthen communities. So I'll just keep doing that.
Thanks to Kelsey Timmerman for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.